Welcome to the Newman Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Now, I had a word, actually. I was going to preach about Gideon, not knowing that Pastor Joel was going to say, preach the same message last week. So back to the drawing board, Lord. So this week that's gone, I was struggling in all honesty. Father, what do I share? Because I was gearing up for Gideon and I had this wonderful message ready, but I had to change it up again. Do you sometimes find yourself in that position when you think that you're doing the right thing and God's giving you the right path and then all of a sudden, it's like, no, change everything, change your plan. And you know, the beauty of trusting in God is that He gives us grace. He strengthens us. And you know, in His word in Ephesians, it says that we are equipped for every good work. Every good work. Just let the words sink in. Every good work. God equips us. So if you think that you're not able to share a word to your workmate, if you're not able to respond properly to your children when they're acting up, or when you're on the road, you're about to have a road rage, just know that God is going to equip you for every good work. Just trust in Him. Now, today's message is going to be a little bit personal, because this was the very, very first message that I shared when I was very young. And so it's like I wouldn't say a repeat, but it was a reminder of how God has taken me from that place to where I am today. And I pray that this word will encourage you today too. So let's look back at our year so far. The wins, the celebrations, the joys. I know a lot of us have a lot of testimonies to share, and it's so good to do that. When you attend life group, share your testimony. Trust me, it will encourage someone. When you come to prayer power, either in the morning on a Sunday or on a Wednesday, trust me, when you share a message, that will encourage somebody. So share your testimonies. It's so powerful. Now, let's think about the struggles that we have encountered so far. The frustration, the pain, or the weariness. When we look back at these things, are we motivated to keep going? You know, we say, yes, Father, I can carry on. Take me more, like take me to another level of my faith or revelation. Or are we discouraged by our lack and failure? Sometimes we feel like, oh, I can't wait for this year to end. I just can't wait for next year, which is just August. It feels like we're past the halfway mark, but December is so far away and I just can't wait for this year to finish. That you're just tired. And some of us can feel like that. Who feels a little bit tired? Yeah, we can be like that. And sometimes, you know, even if you have accomplishments after accomplishments, and you know, we get salvation stories, and even in our life in the church, it can get weary. It can become a routine when you come in and out every Sunday and you start doing things out of routine. You can feel weary. And sometimes we end up feeling purposeless. Like, what's the point of what I'm doing? Is there a reason, or is there purpose to what I'm doing here at church? But let me encourage you in this. Let's not lose faith. Let us not grow weary of doing good. Let our intimacy with the Father be our source of strength. Always go back to your alone time with God. Even if you just sit there in silence or you just cry, just know that God will meet you there. Church, let's be encouraged. God is not done with us. Despite our failures, our weaknesses, and we all have weaknesses and we all have failed. And many of us may feel like we have missed God's timing, that we were too slow. I'm an overthinker, so I really think and think hard before I decide on something. Except, you know, when I married Levi, after 6 months, I just knew that, you know, that was certain. But on other things, I just knew. But in other things, I just overthink and it takes so long for me to decide. But sometimes I even feel like I miss the timing. But God is the redeemer of time. He is outside of time. So trust me, guys, just come to the Lord. Come to the Lord. He is still at work and He is faithful. Church, let's say this. He is faithful to His promises. His promise. And we heard last week from Pastor Joe Samuels that just like Gideon, let's partner with God, not retreat to our version of wine press, whatever that may look like in your life, and head into the battlefield of obedience to God. What is God calling you to do? Where is God calling you to go? Who is God calling you to minister to? What is it that God is calling you to let go so He can give you something more from Him? What is it? Fight for that blessing. Fight for that vision. Fight for that dream that God has given you. Fight for that marriage, for those children, for your health, for God's promises over you. Why? Because He will equip you for every good work. Let's not live a defeated and mundane life. He's not done transforming us. He's not done healing us. He's not done revealing Himself to us. There is so much more that God can give us. He's not done blessing us. And He's not done using us as a blessing to the world around us. Church, there is a world out there that needs Jesus. They need the gospel and they need us as the church to stand up and proclaim the word. The enemy wants to push us down. He will come at you, remind you of your past mistakes. He will bring down everything in your life, but just know that God, as the song that we sang today, He is for us. And if God is for us, who can be against us? Don't give up. God is not done with you. So if God is not done with you, don't give up on yourself. Don't give up on that dream that God has given you, that vision, that mission that God called you to do. I know some of us here are called to mission. Some of you, God has given you a place, a country, or a group of people that God is calling you to minister to. Don't give up on that dream. He will equip you. He will guide you. And you may feel like you have failed or maybe you're not the right person for the job. Or you wish you could have done things differently. I know I have. There's so many things in my life that I wish I could change. But keep holding on to God's word, His promises, He's faithful. In Isaiah 55, 10, 11, it says, "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, make it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." Church, God's plans are good. They are perfect and they are pleasing. Let's continue to trust in Him. You know, He doesn't meet our failures or regrets with condemnation. He meets us with love and assurance and encouragement. Just how Jesus met with Peter in John 21, which is our passage today. And the title of my message today is actually The Urge to Go Back as we look to John 21. But let's pray before we read. Heavenly Father, would You come and speak to Your people here, Lord? I pray, Father, that they see past my voice, they hear past my voice, but they see Your heart. Would You reveal to us, Lord, Your heart today? Father, we want nothing else, Lord, but You and what Your desire is for us as individuals and corporately as a church. Father, we come to You and use me as Your mouthpiece. And as we talk about Peter and look back at his life and how Jesus has met him, I pray, Father, that here today we will feel that we will meet with You, that we could come boldly before Your presence, knowing that we are accepted, that we are redeemed, we are forgiven by the blood of Jesus. So we honor You in this place, Jesus. To You, Your glory, to Your name, all belongs the glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's read John 21. After this, Jesus revealed Himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and He revealed Himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as the day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They said, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved, he could have just said John, but, you know, he's very proud of his identity. That disciple whom Jesus loved, therefore, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid out on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them. So were the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." Now, sometimes when I read the Bible, well, starting now actually, I start to put on a voice because our boys, we recently bought them the ESV version of the Bible to read, which was really tricky. So to keep them, keep their attention on me, because it can get confusing when you read the Bible in ESV, I had to put on the voice. So when the Lord was speaking, "I, the Lord, am talking." So to get them like really listening, to make sure they're listening. So that's when I read the Bible. I'm sorry if I had a voice. That's my mom voice reading. But as we read in John 21, most of us know Peter, the good old Peter, as one of Jesus' disciples. He was one of the first disciples that Jesus called. And we know that before Jesus' crucifixion, Peter denied Jesus three times. This is the same Peter who in Matthew 26:33 boldly declared in front of the other disciples. He said this, "Though they all fall away, because of you, I will never fall away." He says this to Jesus. He said that he will never leave Jesus behind. And we know a few verses after that, Jesus was like, actually, you will deny me three times. Okay, unbelievable for Peter at the time. But that moment came and he was confronted three times. And three times he denied Jesus. "No, I never knew the guy." He put curses on himself just to say, "I do not know the guy." Okay. And then he heard the rooster crow. And then he was reminded of that encounter with Jesus. And he left and he wept boldly and he was so sorrowful after that moment. Now, some of us can be like Peter at times. I know I am. I say I will do one thing, but when that time comes to do it, I don't. So an example is, I promise, especially because we just finished, you know, our Win the World series. And after that, we just get so encouraged and we get so excited to share the word. And I was one of them. I was like, I am ready to evangelize to all my workmates. I am. And then when I get to that moment, I shake. I have a panic attack. I sweat. My head pounds because I'm an overthinker. And then I'm like, I have to say the right thing. I don't want to sound like this person. And then I just walk away. I'm like, I'm going to try again. I'm going to try again. I'm going to try again. Or sometimes, you know, we say this. I will wake up early in the morning and do my devotion. I will exercise. I will do my chores before 8 a.m. And this is me. But I end up staying up super late the night before. So I say, okay, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it. I'll try again. There's always this grace next day, you know. And then sometimes we say this, I will serve the Lord faithfully. I will serve in that ministry, in that church, and here and there. And then, no, we just don't. Oftentimes we say things out of excitement or like because we were in that moment. Yes, I can do it. But when that time comes to fulfill that promise or that declaration, sometimes we get, maybe tomorrow. Sometimes, you know, I picture God having this jar. I promise to do this jar. And I could just imagine my jar overflowing because I know I've said so many things to the Lord that I will do, but I don't. But God is not like that, okay? God will never, ever condemn us. He loves it when we give our best. He loves it when we say things that we will do, we will change. And you know what? He will empower us. Why? Because He will equip us for every good work. He will. You know, God will not make us feel bad. Sin does that. God redeems us. He's good. He's compassionate and tender. Just imagine yourself, like maybe you're like a child at a sports game and God, your dad is on the sideline cheering you on. God is cheering us on. He wants us to succeed. He wants us to accomplish things. I was like that yesterday. Our boys won their basketball game. I was so proud of them. Elijah used to be so scared of bouncing the ball that, but yesterday he was able to dribble and he wasn't called by the ref. Yes. Improvement works, practice works. Psalm 86:15 says, but you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Going back to the passage as we read in John 21:14, this was the third time that Jesus revealed himself to the disciples after his resurrection. The first and second appearance is found in chapter 20 when the disciples were in the upper room. And we don't know if Peter was around. It doesn't say exactly if Peter was with them during those times. But one thing was certain here, going back to our passage, he wanted to go fishing. Maybe to just get his mind off things because it was a scary time for them being a follower of Jesus. You'll be persecuted, you'll be put to prison and maybe he felt guilty about his last moment with Jesus where he denied him three times. Whatever his reason may be, he wanted to go fishing. And in verse 3 it says, Peter said to the other disciples, I'm going fishing. They said to him, we will go with you. Church, this is a reminder for us that there are people watching us, people who look up to us whether we like it or not. No matter how much we deny or despise the term, we are a leader of some sort. At home, at work, at school, in our friendship groups, even on the road. As Christians, let's set the tone and the atmosphere. Peter was still a leader, whether he saw it in his life or not, and the other disciples followed him. So the question for us today, church, is what example are we setting to others who look up to us? Let's be careful, okay? And then in verse 4 and 6, we read, just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? They answered him, no. He said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat. You will find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. Now, this miracle here reminds us of another encounter that the disciples had with Jesus, doesn't it? It actually brings us to that first encounter that the disciples had with Jesus. Now, if we look to Luke 5, verse 4 and 7, it says here, it says in 4 and 7, "And when he had finished speaking, Jesus, he said to Simon, 'Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch.' And Simon answered, 'Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word, I will let down the nets.' And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish and their nets were breaking." Wow. Wow. So it's a similar story. Just think about it. That was the first encounter that they had with Jesus. Peter's first ever encounter with Jesus is that miracle of the catch. And now here, towards the end, he encounters Jesus again, but he did not know that he was Jesus. They didn't know he was Jesus, maybe because it was dark or it was still hazy or foggy because early daybreak. But then, you know, in verse 7, that disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, "It is the Lord." They were reminded that it was Jesus. So it's almost like Jesus was reminding, "Hey, remember when I first called you? Remember my first encounter with you." And sometimes God will speak to, actually most of the time, God will remind us. God always reminds us because we are a forgetful bunch. If we read Exodus, the Israelites, we just see how forgetful they are. I am forgetful myself. I always forget where my phone is, and I'm grateful for the watch because I always have an alarm to tell me where my phone is. But in a serious note, we forget who God is. We forget who we are. We forget our encounters. We forget that, hey, I'm no longer that person. I don't need to feel this way. Or God has set me free from this sin or this bondage or this addiction. I am set free. So God will give us visions and dreams or even words from people or even the ugly situations. God will use that to remind us of our first encounters with Him, of our faith landmarks. It's so important for us to go back to our landmarks so that we remember who God is in our lives and who we are in Him. And, you know, there was this one time before we actually just had Youth Alive and I didn't want to go because I was I was feeling a little bit too old to go there. And I said, maybe other people can go. I'm grateful that we have Pierre helping us now. He's much younger than us. He can relate more to the young people. Anyways, that afternoon, that lunchtime before we left, I was buying lunch and I ordered online and I was just waiting and waiting. And everyone who ordered after me got their orders and I was the last person. I was getting hungry, the kids were waiting for food and we were running out of time. And as I was thinking in my head, maybe I should complain now. Maybe I should say something. I'm so angry because I need to go. I was getting hangry. But then I held my tongue. I said, "No, I can do it." I just asked them, "When's my order? Is it going to be ready soon?" And they forgot about my order. And it was actually just sitting there. And I was like, I'm walking on my way back to the car. I was ready to leave a bad review. But then I said, "Lord, help me. Help me in this moment." And then I started crying in the car. And then I said, "Lord, I'm so sorry I feel this way, but I'm just so hungry and tired. And I don't want to go to tonight's event." And then I heard the Lord gently speak to me. And He said, "My child, just partner with what I'm going to do tonight." And I bawled my eyes out. Okay, Lord, I'm so sorry for complaining all the time. And so I went. And you know what? We had over 1,000 responses to a call of God. Imagine the young people just coming to God and just, you know, just worshiping Him and being a light, You know, we see it in the news. We hear in the news all the time what's going on in the young generation. But what we do here at church, what we do at youth, what we do at kids' church, what you do at home as you raise your children, you are using them and you're raising them as an example to their generation, because God will use them. God has a purpose for them. God has a plan for them. God will use them to save and help this generation, their generation. And you know, in every situation, if we allow Him, God will use everything in our lives for our good. And just like that miracle where in that fish, they didn't catch anything. They must have thought it was a waste of time. But because Jesus met them there at the shore, and God reminded them, Jesus reminded them of their first encounters with Him. They remembered who Jesus was. They remembered who they were in Him. Just think, put yourselves in their position. They just lost their Savior. And then He was resurrected back to life. You know, maybe they still have questions. Is this real? Is He a ghost? Is this real? Am I just making things up? And not only that, they were being the religious leaders then want them to be thrown in jail. So it was a scary time for them. But Jesus met them. And when Peter heard that it was Jesus, he swam to shore to meet with Jesus. And just like Peter Church, despite the urge to go back to our old ways, to go back to our comfort zone, let's run back to Jesus instead, because He's just waiting for us at the shore. And you know what He has for us? He doesn't meet us with condemnation. You know what He has for them? Breakfast. He made them breakfast. He fed them well. He didn't give them a lecture. He didn't say, "Why did you do this, Peter? Why did you deny me? I told you so, Peter. I told you that you'll deny me." No, He gave them breakfast. They just ate together. How good is it that when someone comes to you, and you know that they did something, you don't just tell them off. You just, "Hey, come, let's have a chat. Let's eat together." And just watch them, watch this, their face transform, their spirit be lifted up, because you don't meet them with condemnation. Church, when we're hurt by people, let's not meet them with condemnation. Let's embrace them. Let's embrace them with love and forgiveness. The way God has forgiven us, let's forgive others. Let's meet each other with compassion. Jesus knew what they needed. They needed breakfast. Do you guys need a moment with the Lord where, "Lord, I just want to sit here and meet with You"? Go there, meet with Him after this message, after tonight. Be excited to meet Him in your secret place and just watch the feast that He has for you. That's how good our Father is. Now, this was proof as well that Jesus was not an imposter. It was the real deal. This was Jesus. And now, just for the sake of time, I'll move on to John 21:15, where Jesus speaks to Peter. And this is so important for Peter. Did you know that as I was reading, because now I've started studying theology, which means that I started questioning everything that I know. It does that to you, but by the power of God and His revelation, I am here. Now, did you know that they actually didn't want chapter 21 to be in the Gospel of John? They think that it didn't fit the flow. Yeah, wow. But, you know, if we didn't have chapter 21, we wouldn't have seen the recommissioning of Peter. Yeah, his story would have ended with him denying Jesus 3 times and weeping bitterly. And sometimes we feel like that, like our story ends on a bad note, well, with our mistakes and our failures. No, as Peter denied Jesus 3 times, so did Jesus reinstated the call on his life 3 times. Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" And 3 times he responded, "Yes." And Jesus in verse 19 says, "Follow me." It's the same thing that Jesus said to him in Luke when he first called him, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." And we see in Acts how boldly he has become. He was so bold. He was fearless. He didn't care. He was out there preaching the word. And, you know, he actually wrote a letter as well. When he was quoted uneducated, he was able to write 1 Peter and 2 Peter. And in that verse we see in 5:10, he says, after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. He was able to say these things because he was reinstated by God. His life didn't end in his failure. His life didn't end in his mistake, in him denying Jesus. Imagine denying Jesus when you said that you will be there for him till the very end. You would feel the worst. And you are a leader and your friends and the other disciples look up to you. You would feel the worst as a leader. Sometimes many of us feel like that, whether you're a father, a mom, a student, maybe you have failed classes. I know I've failed classes. You know, sometimes I feel like I'm a failure as a mom, you know, or sometimes failure as a leader as well. But it doesn't end there. God has a story. God's story for you is not finished. You know, without this chapter, we would not have witnessed the restoration of Peter. God intended for this chapter to be written so that we can see the power of his grace. He brings restoration. So what's your story, church? You know, recently I was diagnosed with something on my gallbladder that had to be removed, and that really brought me down. You know, I really hate it. I was telling my specialist, is there any way that I can keep it? Please, please. And he said, sorry, no. And that really brought me down. And I was somewhat defeated. I'm like, okay, fine, I'll get it. And I have allowed that diagnosis to bring me down for that to be my end of story. I have forgotten the miraculous God that I serve, how I've heard so many miracles here in our church and out there, how God has healed people miraculously. I have forgotten that. But even in this message that I'm sharing, I am reminded that, you know, the doctor may have said that, but I can still believe that God will heal me, that I can still keep my gallbladder. And then, you know, I stopped studying because I had to prioritize, you know, being a mom, being a wife. And I thought, that's it. That's it for me. But that's not the end. God says, yes, you can still study. I will equip you for every good work. So I am studying again and I am loving every bit of it. You know, and you know, I thought I will never be allowed to come up to church because, as you know, our story, me and Levi, my husband, we didn't start out good. And I thought, now we're discounted from ever being up here in front. Look at where I am today. I am sharing my story because God has restored me. Just as Jesus restored Peter, God will restore you. What is your story that you think has ended in a mistake, in a failure, in a brokenness, in a diagnosis? Today, church, if I could just invite Pastor Dave and the team to come up. Today, church, as we sing to him again, as we come back to him, just say, Lord, you are the redeemer of time. You are the redeemer of life. You are the redeemer of my past. So I will look forward to my future. What is it that you are calling me to do again? Can you remind me again? Church, let's just stand up and then close our eyes and let's pray together. What is it that you are calling me to do again, Lord? Remind me again in this moment. What is this gift that you have given me again? I want to use it for your glory, to impact your kingdom, to impact the world around me, to impact my community, to impact my workplace and my school and wherever I am. Father, what is that vision that you have given me? What is that call in my life that you have given me? Remind me again so that I can serve you wholeheartedly, believing that you will equip me for every good work. And Father, forgive us for believing the lies that that's it for us. Our mistakes, our failures, or even feeling like that's it for me. There's nothing more that I can get in my faith journey, that I can just go on eating breadcrumbs from his table. But Father, you have prepared a table before us where we can feast, we can just dwell in your presence, we can enjoy your presence and be fed, being just with you. knowing that you are our God, knowing that you are faithful to your promises. With all eyes closed, everyone in the room, all eyes closed. If you feel that you have discounted yourself or you're not fit anymore for that dream that God has given you, or someone else can do it for you, put your hand up and we'll pray together. No one looking around, just me, and we'll pray. You feel like you've missed God's timing, or you're not doing enough for Him. If that's you today, just put your hand up. I will pray with you. You feel like this is the end of it. I just have to live like this and wait for that time to pass and watch someone else fulfill their dreams. If that's you, just put your hand up. Father, we come to you as we are, as your children. Would you meet us the way you've met with Peter in this moment? How we're coming down and out, feeling like, Lord, we failed you. Lord, I failed my marriage, I failed my children, I failed my career, I failed your church, I failed your expectations. But you meet us, Lord, not with condemnation, but with restoration, with recommissioning, with assurance that you will equip us for every good work. And He who is faithful will fulfill His promises. And He who began a good work in us will bring it to completion. So we trust in your word, Jesus, that you will fill us once again. You will renew our strength once again. You will restore to us the joy of our salvation again. We will mount up on wings like eagles. We will fly, Lord God, in your presence once again, knowing that it is you who is carrying us, Lord. So we entrust again to you our lives, our future, and the ministry, Lord, that you have called us to. We entrust to you again our children. We entrust to you again our marriage. We entrust to you again our workplaces, Lord. We entrust to you again our dreams, Lord, our visions, Lord, for the future. Meet with us, Lord, where we are. Meet with us and thank you that you are here. Thank you that you are here. In Jesus' name, amen. And let's sing together. Let's just worship the Lord together and know that He is here and He's meeting with us.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmark.church. Thanks for listening.